What inspired the creation of the internet? Was it the military's need for a decentralized communication system? Was it a long-held dream of connecting individuals across the globe? Maybe. But what might have been even more instrumental in the rapid-fire adoption of the technology was arguably sex. Yes, sex. That deep human impulse has been there from the early days of bulletin boards and webcams up through the current era of addictive hookup apps and omnipresent porn. Now, I remember the 90s. I know a bit about this history, but definitely not as much as Samantha Cole, author of the new book, How Sex Changed the Internet and the Internet Changed Sex. Samantha is a senior editor at Motherboard, the science and technology website, where she covers sexuality, online culture, and the adult industry. Here she is to share five big ideas from her book.
Hi, I'm Samantha Cole, author of How Sex Changed the Internet and the Internet Changed Sex. I've been a journalist for more than 10 years, and in the last five, I've reported on tech, sexuality, gender, and the adult industry as my primary beat. My book is a wide-angle view of how sex and tech have developed together over the last 30 years, beginning with the earliest architects of the internet in the late 60s, to 90s porn webmasters, to topics like deepfakes and non-consensual image abuse, to the internet as we know it today. It covers a lot of ground, and I think most people will learn something new or meet someone through these stories that they'd never heard of before. I'd like to share with you five unexpected insights from my book. Insight number one, the internet was built on sex. Early modes of internet communication were predicated on and popularized by a desire for sex and romance. Bulletin board systems, the digital equivalent of public cork boards, were quickly popularized as places to access porn online. With names like SleazeNet, ThrobNet, and PleasureDome, many subscription-based bulletin boards were for trading images scanned from porn magazines or photos uploaded by amateurs. But they weren't all just for smut. They were also often hubs of harm reduction, especially during the AIDS crisis, and as a way for queer and marginalized people to find community and care, in a time when coming out was even more dangerous than it is today. On Usenet, a decentralized messaging system, people debated concepts of safe spaces and moderation. They fought over whether men should be permitted in women's only threads, and kept long-running threads about everything from politics to how best to have sex in a scuba dive. In text-based multi-user domains, or MUDs, people role-played as fantasy versions of themselves and found love and loss. In one classic MUD legend, someone playing as an evil clown sexually assaulted other members of the chat and threw the entire community into chaos. In all of these systems, people grappled with how to define consent, abuse, and harassment. People fell deeply in love within these online spaces, then met in person, got married, or got their hearts broken. Ex-lovers emailed the administrators to ask to be removed from the chats, since seeing their former partners even through a screen was too emotionally charged. The desire to be seen and understood permeated these early predecessors of social media, and naturally, they often turned to the sexual. Insight number two. The tech we take for granted was pioneered by sex. Much of the technology we use today was developed to build an internet devoted to sex and sex work. Things like browser cookies and user tracking were developed and improved upon by online dating entrepreneurs and porn webmasters, who wanted to keep track of who visited their site so they could be advertised to more effectively. Affiliate marketing, which makes a lot of the internet run today, was popularized by porn site owners who needed to make money from the thousands of people visiting their sites every day. The JPEG was developed, using a photo of a Playboy centerfold named Lena. And her photograph was used as the test to standardize image processing for decades. Webcams and web conferencing software were popularized by the earliest generations of cam models, who set up sites to sell a peek inside their bedrooms. Live streamers, who streamed their lives 24/7 without any censorship, paved the way for today's Twitch and TikTok stars. Tech that was once used mostly for sexual intrigue, we now use for business calls every day. The founder of WebPersonals, who was one of the very first online dating website founders, claims to have invented the shopping cart and the tech that gives users the ability to track people from place to place within a website. Site subscriptions, members-only content, online credit card transactions, and advertising models. The list goes on and on, and online sex tech pioneers are still crafting new ways to express themselves and capitalize on the internet's insatiable desires. Insight number three. The internet transformed the porn industry. The adult industry used to work very different from how it operates today. Pre-internet, it was based on a studio system where you typically had to have an agent or know a producer or be located somewhere like LA or the San Fernando Valley to have access to the kinds of connections to get your big break into porn. The production companies or the studios own the rights to your images, and they'll have all the video you shot with them. This system also meant that buying porn required you to find a store, go in, browse, and buy or rent a tape or magazine. And these shops were very male-dominated spaces. All of that changed with the internet, and with the inventions like the webcam and user-generated content platforms like Clip and Cam sites. Suddenly, anyone could break out and carve their own niche, retain ownership of their own videos and images, vet prospective clients through safer means, and work on their own terms, often without leaving home. Things have gradually, and in the last 5 years or so, more rapidly, moved toward more creator economy work that has handed the control back to the workers. Insight number four, the internet transformed the sex toy industry. In the 70s, we saw this big revolution in women's pleasure. People like Del Williams and Joni Blank pioneering not just the notion of sex toys, but orgasms as being something healthy and worthwhile. You could buy a Hitachi magic wand in Macy's in the 70s, and in fact, Del Williams, the founder of Eve's Garden in NYC, did exactly that, and it's what inspired her to open her own shop. But when the World Wide Web came along in the late 80s, the internet did for sex toys what it also did for porn. It took an experience previously isolated in socially stigmatized spaces, like in-person sex shops or adult video stores, and brought the shopping experience home. This meant that a wider variety of people could now access sex toys that were once out of their grasp. Anyone with internet access and a credit card could safely approach new ways to control their own pleasure. More people than ever could safely browse at home, comparison shop, read reviews, and chat with others about what they were interested in, and about their kinks and fetishes. There's been a really big destigmatizing effect alongside all of that as well. It's a lot less awkward than it used to be to buy a sex toy. And it's a lot less weird to talk to strangers about your kinks. Insight number five. The future of sex online depends on us. On the modern day internet, sexual speech, including sex work, sex education, and expressions of sexuality outside of the heteronormative, are increasingly suppressed. Bad legislation like FOSTA SESTA, which passed into law in 2018 and conflates all sexual speech as trafficking, makes it harder for anyone working in these industries or trying to build communities around sexual identity to exist online. Anti-sex groups are pushing for increased censorship and discrimination by mainstream platforms like Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, under a guise of saving women and children from exploitation. But demonizing sex doesn't solve abuse online. In fact, it makes it worse. We could take the pessimistic view into the future that things will just continue to get more and more sterilized and censored online. The reality right now is things aren't getting more free and more welcoming to sex. They're getting more hostile. If we want to live in a future where sexuality, innovation, and safety coexist, we have to stand against discrimination of sex workers and marginalized people and start taking control of how we want to exist online.
Thank you, Samantha. That was Samantha Cole with five big ideas from How Sex Changed the Internet and the Internet Changed Sex. Another book bite you might enjoy is God, Human, Animal, Machine, Technology, Metaphor, and the Search for Meaning by Megan O'Giblin. I'm Michael Kovnat. Hope you have an amazing day.